T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody should not be taken too seriously, especially when they give advice. Do not take Marshall's analogies literally, especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey. The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Grody may change at any time. It's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Rahimi, Harris, and Grody, 10 to 2 on 670 The...
You heard from Zach LaVine previously, and LaVine was, I think, not just the face of the Bulls for a time that we won't look back on in history necessarily and say, oh, this was crucial. Number one, I think Zach LaVine gets an ovation, of course, at the UC tonight. But then I'm also thinking it's a time where you wanted to see more out of that team.
And you can wonder what could have been, right?
I think about how even with what the Bulls got back, he was still defining the direction of your team. That trade also told you exactly how the Bulls were going to go about their business moving forward.
I hope you realize the impact you made here.
This is always going to be a home for me. No bad blood. This is just happy.
LaVine with the fade, the fire, and a top sign three right down the pipe. All the way to the rack on the left angle. Zach LaVine throws it down with a hammer right-handed to hard left-hand dribble drive, and he throws it down! A Zach attack to the rack.
It's my turn.
Here's Giddy with a spin to the rim, up and good! He just put the Sacramento Ball Club in the blender. Topside Giddy, banker goal! Are you flat out kidding me? Josh Giddy with the kiss off the window from 30 feet. His zealots to the rim. A little shake and a little bait. Bam! Kevin Herter, the red velvet is red hot. Bulls win. Bulls win. Bulls win. We're 4-0. You gotta love it.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Rahimi, Harris, and Grody on 670 The Score, and we will get to that Bulls and Kings game at 10:45, so in two segments. We're going to start with the Bears, though, because there was a lot said at Halas Hall. The Bears, of course, getting ready for the Bengals on Sunday, and that is a game where I went through, I think, a prediction roller coaster, Marshall Harris, where I feel like at one point I'm like, oh no, Joe Burrow, when that comes out on the schedule, back-to-back games in Baltimore and Cincinnati, that might not be the game you want to pick as a W. And then we know Joe Burrow went down and you're thinking to yourself, okay, L for the Bengals, W for the Bears. Joe Flacco comes in, we see him impress. Oh, maybe not so much the case. Now Joe Flacco's status, as we know, is up in the air. But in the meantime, the Bears didn't get the kind of pass rush you wanted on backup Tyler Huntley against the Ravens. You're looking for them to do more when you know that the secondary is absolutely injured. Tyreek Stevenson was out last week, as we've mentioned. Obviously, Jalen Johnson out for an extended period of time. I'm still trying to figure out, based on what Ben Johnson said yesterday at Hallis Hall, how long they expect Kyler Gordon to be on injured reserve. Your hosses, the guys you wanted to depend on, you can't. They bring in what we know is now CD Gardner Johnson yesterday.
Glad we got that figured out.
So that gives you an indication for a Bengals team who had a 39-38 loss last week that you need them to stop one of the best receivers in the league and Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, the combination, one of the best in the league. And you're trying to figure out how to do that. The natural answer is to look toward the pass rush. But unfortunately, that Bears pass rush, 15 sacks total as a team. We went over this yesterday. The leading total in sacks is Jervon Dexter with 3.5. Montez Sweat is next with 3. So when Ben Johnson is asked about the pass rush yesterday, I feel like it was more of the same, especially given what you've talked about, Marshall, into how this is a team that spent a ton of money, as we know, 10th in the league on the defensive line. But flashes are not going to get the job done when your secondary is hurt and you need somebody defensively to create some pressure to ease off that secondary.
You know how like a flashbang works where it's like, oh, and it startles you for a second? No, no. They need that. I'm putting you in this room and I'm turning the spotlight on you and I'm interrogating you. That's the kind of light they need on the quarterback.
Why'd you get to the quarterback? Who ordered the code red?
I watch these Bears and every week we talk about wish casting. It's hoping and wishing somebody gets back there and trips up the quarterback.
You know it's going to be a fun day of reactions on here, so to speak, when 6-3 on our text line, 312-644-6767. Pass rush? I don't know anything about a pass rush. Where were you for the pass rush the other day?
And so to see what happened against the backup quarterback and Tyler Huntley, and now that we know that Joe Flacco did not practice yesterday, and he may not play on Sunday, so you may be dealing with another backup quarterback in Jake Browning. And to know that you can't depend on your guys up front to necessarily say, hey, there's a constant. We know Montez Sweat and Dio Odingbo and, well, Dominique Robinson, he's on the injury report, so we don't even know if he's playing.
And you could argue that he's been one of your best pass rushers this season, if not one or two.
And so to have the inconsistency from the highly paid guys and then to not get the push up the middle that you were looking for, it's got to be a worrying thing for Dennis Allen, who also doesn't have his special weapon, his weapon X, if you will, coming off the edge in Kyler Gordon this week.
Oh, no. I gave the Bears an extra sack. They have 14.
14 on the season?
Yeah. That's not worst in the league, by the way. Panthers are behind them at 13. Cardinals at 12. Bengals at 11. Go sit pretty, Caleb Williams. Give yourself some time. You want to read the field more on Sunday? I think you can. Jets have 11. Then it's the Ravens, 49ers, and Jaguars with 9, 9, and 8.
If I told you that last year Chicago sacked the quarterback 7.37% of the time, you say, okay, that's not great, but at least it's not, you know, last or anything like that.
That's
right?
Not enough.
It's not enough, but it's what if I told you that number went down from last year?
That's not good, especially when they spent more money on the D-line.
6.73% is the number currently, and that ranks 19th in the NFL.
That's not fair to Midland. That's near the bottom. That's the bottom third, almost.
Yes, it's the bottom half, not the bottom third, but it is the bottom half.
19th out of 32?
Yes, the bottom half.
I consider that practically the bottom third.
Come on now. You can't. Don't stretch it out like that.
No, I do.
If there were 33 teams, you would have to be at least 22nd. Or sorry, you'd have to be 23rd or lower to be in the bottom third. That's why I'm not going to go that far. 19th closer to 16 than it is to the bottom
third.
Okay,
fine.
Yeah. But anyway, the point being, they're not getting to the quarterback enough. And you're wondering, how is that going to change? And if it didn't happen with no Lamar Jackson back there as he was cackling all game long on the sidelines, if Joe Flacco, who is not mobile, by the way, I just want to point that out.
Even if Joe Flacco is 40, Joe's not like, yeah, Joe's not exactly running around on the field.
He's getting rid of the ball very, very, very quickly. And if it's Jake Browning, who has struggled with supreme targets, I'd argue the best wide receiver duo tandem in the NFL, with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. If you can't get to that guy, who are you really getting to? And I know they're down guys. I understand the secondary's beat up. But the guys who get paid the most money have to be more than a flashbang. They have to be a constant light that is hurting the quarterback's eyes.
No, you're right about that. And Ben Johnson appropriately was asked about it yesterday afternoon at Halas Hall. Here's what he had to say about the lack of pass rush that we've seen.
We've got to capitalize on the opportunities when guys get one-on-one on a tackle or on a guard. And that's really what it comes down to. If it's a play action, then we got to transition to rushers fast. You know, last week in particular, we didn't build a lead on that team. We allowed them to keep the running game going. We had a strong emphasis going into the game of stopping that running game. And so as that game went on, they were able to live in that movement and play action world, which makes the pass rush a lot more challenging, all in all. And so I do think when you look at our third down numbers, I do think that's indicative of how our pass rush, maybe not from a sack perspective, but from a pressure perspective, has been able to influence the quarterback and affect him. You know, not everyone agrees with this statement, but the hits and the pressures are equally important to me as the sacks are. And so I would love to be leading the league in sacks right now, but affecting the quarterback is really important for us. And when I look at those true dropback situations, that's what I'm looking at more than anything, is how much are we affecting the quarterback.
Okay, so yeah, 19th in sack percentage. If you're me, I think that's closer to the lower third. If you're Marshall looking at actual facts, then it's closer to middle of the league.
I understand how you feel, though.
Yeah. Like, I laugh about it. I also use the phrase all the time, why bring facts into this conversation?
That's fair.
So here's something that is closer to the bottom of the league. This is bottom five. The Bears are 27th in quarterback pressure percentage. So that's not helping. That's not getting the job done either. That is indicative and perhaps even worse, because it means they're not wrapping up and getting home in time compared to the sack rate. And he's right, sacks aren't everything, but they are an excellent indication of how successful your football team is. Denver, 36 sacks on the season. The Rams have 26. That's how far and away Denver is ahead of the pack. Tampa Bay, 25. The Browns, oddly enough, have 24, but we know their issues lie elsewhere. But the point is, it is a good indicator of success of your team. Broncos are 6-2. They're first in the AFC West, and they seem to be a complete team when you consider how the offense is going as well. But the biggest issue for the Bears is not that. It's that if you're trying to help out your secondary, which is absolutely depleted, and you have to sign CD. It's CD now, guys. CD Gardner-Johnson. We got the confirmation yesterday. Then this is where you're going to have to live to succeed as a defense.
The biggest thing is Montez Sweat. You talk about pressure specifically, right? Because that's the stat that Ben Johnson wants to lean on. And I understand not everybody agrees that pressures are the same as a sack. Not even the same as a sack. As they are as telling a stat as sacks are. Because sacks is like, you finished the job. You got the job done. But you can get a pressure. And if you get a couple of pressures on the quarterback, you can still affect not only that play, but the mentality and also the physicality of what you're doing to the quarterback.
This math would indicate that when the Bears do get pressure, it's more likely to result in a sack.
Yeah, Montez Sweat is 44th in the league in pressures. He's got 10. The leader, just so you can understand what the bar is, Aiden Hutchinson has 22 through the same number of games.
Aiden Hutchinson just got the most amount of guaranteed money for a non-quarterback yesterday.
He did get a lot of money.
He's living good.
He did get
he's eating good in the neighborhood,
and he deserved it. The next guy for the Bears with one less than him, 9, is Jervon Dexter, who's got 9 pressures. Okay? So there's guys, and you know who's way down at 132? Dayo Dangbo. He's got 5. So even by Ben Johnson's own standards, I would argue Dayo has not been up to snuff, as we say down south.
Yeah, they decided to sign Dayo, as we mentioned, because partially his pressure rate, that did show. That was part of the reason he got his contract. But for whatever reason, it's not coming through in the same way. And Brad Biggs did a really good deep dive. We talked about it here on Raheem Harrison Grody a couple weeks ago, talking about Montez Sweat's lack of production and why. And he quotes a lot of scouts. But this isn't just on him. This is the defensive line as a whole. This segment, by the way, brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. So there's a little bit more here from Ben Johnson regarding the two you just mentioned, Montez Sweat and Dio.
I think Sweat has started to ascend over the last few games. I'm pretty pleased with how he's playing. Dio has been really good as an interior rusher, and I thought he played a really strong game last week in the run game. It was his best game yet this season. But on the edge, we're still working on that.
Here's the issue. On the edge, we're still working on that. Results in how many yards for Ja'Marr Chase?
I don't even want to begin to try to imagine how many yards. We went over the targets yesterday. Over the last two games, 42. Is that a lot of targets for a two-game stretch?
42 targets in two games is unreal. He's got, what, 99 for the season?
Yes.
He's got 720 yards so far this year.
And that's having to deal with Jake Browning for multiple games.
Yeah,
there's a reason
this is
we
a trend
this.
That doesn't look good.
There's a reason we feared this back-to-back Ravens, Bengals, both on the road portion of the schedule when the schedule was announced, because you knew that was a guy in multiple MVP, Lamar Jackson, a guy who's been to a Super Bowl in Joe Burrow, who has kept a team afloat that's had usually terrible defenses. And that still remains. The Bengals' defense is still terrible.
Yeah, they gave up opportunities. They gave up 39 to the Jets. So I think that's a big part of it. They gave the Jets their first win of the season.
And so the thing I'm trying to lay out here is that if you don't get pressure, specifically on Joe Flacco, Browning, you might be able to live a little bit better with, because he just hasn't been as accurate in finding the playmakers.
He's not going to read the field like Flacco, period.
But Flacco, 2 seconds or less, that ball's gone. And they'll design stuff to attack the fact that the Bears are very shorthanded in their secondary, and that's the concern. And that's when you look back at last week and you asked Caleb Williams to keep up and outplay a backup. Can he outplay Joe Flacco? Can he outplay potentially Jake Browning?
So Ja'Marr Chase, 19 targets on Sunday last week in that loss, 91 yards, 12 catches. T. Higgins, they limited him to just one catch for 44 yards.
So the big one. Pick your poison.
Precisely. And that's the other issue, too, is when you change the shape of your defense, if you're going to devote more resources to Chase, Higgins might burn you for at least one good one. And that's why it's so quality to have a receiving room who can do it. On the other side, you're hoping the Bears do that. You're hoping that if they double cover Rome, for example, that there's more space to work with for DJ Moore, that he's able to work through or find the open spots in the zone and be able, or open spots and there's lack of space in man, where he's able to work and cut through that defense. The other side of this is good, because you're seeing what they can do against the Bengals. But in the meantime, if you're trying to figure out how to form a plan against this team, I'm much more concerned about the Bears' availability injury-wise than I am anything else right now.
Was the injury report not a gut punch to us all? I know it's just Wednesday, so a lot can change between...
With four receivers being out?
Wednesday and Friday, a lot can change. But on its surface, to look up and see for the injury report, Luther Burden III, Roschon Johnson, DJ Moore, Rome Odunze, DeAndre Swift, Olamide Zaccheaus, and Dominique Robinson. I mean, all but one of those are offensive players at least, but still, it was good to see Cole Kmet back to practice in a limited fashion. Tyreek Stevenson, it's good to know that he had a limited practice.
Limited, right. So what does that mean for his status on Sunday? But you're right. Yeah, Rome Odunze with the heel, that's new. So that's something we're definitely tracking. But in the meantime, when you know your secondary was banged up this bad, that means hopefully in a team sport, in a team concept, the pass rush does help. 773, I don't do my own taxes, so you don't have to worry about that. But I tend to think that what we've seen out of the Bears is lower level stuff in the league. Also, like, I can do math, I just can't do it quickly in my head immediately, sorry. So anywho, going back to the task at hand, that pass rush, I think, or at least helping create some sort of confusion at the line of scrimmage or chaos is really going to be key in this preventing from getting into a track meet is how I see it. We have more to come here on Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. You have been texting us. We'll have fun with them. It is 312-644-6767. That's the number you can call us and text us. You can also join us on Twitch. Our Twitch mob strong today. Twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis are our video team. Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, and the birthday boy, Brandon Fryer, are helping us out as well as we broadcast live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And when we have breaking news on the Score, it is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Coming up next, it is time for Marshall's acronym of choice, COE, Caleb Over Everything. We'll examine his assessment and his performance against the Ravens. And it sounds like there was some adjustment to the facts and the looking at the tape, if you will.
Different perspectives is what we'll call it.
So we'll hear the difference next.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before, T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Williams has time, downfield, intercepted! Wiggins steps in front, and the Ravens come up with the big play defensively.
Williams searching, throwing, incomplete, game over.
These are learning situations. It's kind of like Harbaugh said on the other side. When you have adversity, if you don't learn from it, it's wasted. They're going to have a lot to learn from.
This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. Marshall Harris, Layla Raheemy, and you, Mark Grody, will join us from Hallis Hall at 125 today. We continue with our preview and looking ahead to the Bears and Bengals, because yesterday afternoon is when we heard from Ben Johnson and also Caleb Williams at Hallis Hall, among a lot of other Bears. And we try to figure out, based on what we saw out of Caleb Williams against the Ravens, not as much, say, in the yards category, because that was very good, but in the reads that we've discussed and how to interpret it. This is one of those weeks where I feel like we've seen various takes. It's choose your own adventure. It's choose your own stats. It's choose your own film when it comes to figuring out what you saw out of the quarterback. We did a lot on it on Monday and Tuesday. Caleb Williams, 25 of 38 for 285 yards in that game, and the interception, which has brought up a lot of discussion. 77.2 quarterback rating, though. We know touchdowns and interceptions factor big into it. I feel like it was one of those games where the eye test even fooled you a bit based on which throws you wanted to see in and trying to figure out which ones meant more to you. That interception is, I think, something, there's a reason that is still being discussed on Wednesday, yesterday, as opposed to, say, the discussion stops on Sunday or Monday. Quarterback and head coach had two different answers on that.
So I think what is important to you and what's important to me doesn't necessarily matter as much as what's important to Ben Johnson, first and foremost. And then the understanding that Caleb Williams needs to make whatever is the most important to Ben Johnson, the most important thing to him. If that happens, then I think everything in this offense can continue to grow. And growth is about failure and then responding to failure and getting better because you failed.
Right. And so we heard Caleb say originally on Sunday, for example, that he was okay with that. He thought it was a good read and just a throw that he was confident that he could execute. And in that, I think, is a little bit more of the discussion here. What can you do in the NFL? What has the NFL shown you can do or you're allowed to do versus what you thought you were able to do? And sometimes it's not just about having confidence in your arm strength, confidence in how you can throw in certain positions. You know, the fastball that he throws, everybody knows is plus plus, right? To use the baseball term. But it's the touch and knowing that if you're going to force something, respect the opponent. This is not college. You know, the NFL cornerbacks are smarter, better, faster, stronger.
Is that a Kanye song?
Remixed by, originally it was Daft Punk, yeah. And that's the point.
Maybe they need a remix of what they're working on, because right now, in this moment, it's not working. It wasn't that long ago, Layla, that we were talking about Caleb Williams outperforming Dak Prescott. Do you remember that? It wasn't that long ago.
Well, yes, and the way we talked about it was a little bit different. You know, Dak Prescott at the time was getting used to a new offense. Like, we also heard Ben Johnson glowingly discuss what he thought Dak did well.
Yeah, and Dak lost his receiver to CeeDee Lamb minutes into the game.
Bingo. And so that's why I think that was a bit of a different discussion. George Pickens among the top three in receiving yards in the league.
I want Caleb to feel the confidence and understanding that it's okay if you're not perfect, but let's call a spade when things go wrong.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to Caleb Williams' PR man, nobody's smoother, right? Nobody's smoother at giving the answer. That's a skill. And that's a skill that has earned him a lot of money appropriately. We respect it. But when it comes to what you see when you look at the tape, people are asking you questions, assuming that you're going to give an answer that leads us to understand how you're seeing the game. So here's what he said yesterday on his assessment of the Ravens game.
I would say I made one bad play in a situation where, you know, we couldn't afford that in that moment with where we were in the game, and that's the interception. Other than that, I mean, saw well. Felt like I played well. Obviously had a couple of situations where, you know, I felt like I could have, you know, done a better job, like the getting out of bounds and saving a timeout, you know, to help us in that situation. It's always nice to have those timeouts and have as many as you want and can have in those situations. And then, you know, the two intentional groundings. One of them was third down, and we were going to punt regardless, and we got a boomer of a punter. So that wasn't, you know, too hurtful. But the one before half, just find a way to, you know, get it in the vicinity of Colston. And if not, us just being on the same page.
See, okay, so there is a difference there. Because originally we all knew when it came to the interception, for example, he had Menangai open in the flat. Ben Johnson said he had another option there. And then instead, he chose to go over the middle to Rome. How many times do you say that during a game? Over the middle to Rome. Over the middle to Rome. Double coverage to Rome. Rome.
I was told Rome is a number one receiver. I was told he was a guy worthy of being picked in the top 10. I was told that he was going to be the guy who could beat coverages.
Right. So, okay. I don't think that we're off of that concept yet. But the thing is, defenses know what you're doing. Results in the interception. That's why there's double coverage a lot of the time.
Yes. And the picks are already up. He's two-thirds of the way to last year's pick total.
And we knew that was going to be part of this. When you're teaching yourself how to form better habits, when Ben Johnson says that interceptions don't bother him as much because of EPA, then you know that part of this is going to be the case. What you don't want to hear, though, about that interception is there's a difference between this was the play we were running, we were trying to make that play, and the head coach saying, well, he should have also been able to read it better. You know, those are two different things. Like, don't be afraid to throw the ball downfield because of that arm strength if it results in an interception, but you're good enough in the game to be able to take that risk. That's one thing. But this is, I think, different.
It's about measured reactions from us to measured decisions by him, and he's not making enough measured decisions.
Additionally, if you're the defense, you can kind of predict this, right? You know, in crunch time, where he might want to go. And listeners have talked about it with us. We've gotten texts. He's keying in on Rome too much. We've gotten Twitch messages. He's keying in on Rome. We've gotten calls. Well, guess what, everybody? It was discussed yesterday. So here's what the head coach had to say.
I think Caleb has been pretty true to trust in the progression. And so, you know, we vary who is the primary on all of our concepts. And that's where, you know, as a play caller and you have this many weapons, you want to make sure that you've got all your weapons primary a certain number of times on the call sheet. And then when you call that play, it kind of coverage dictates whether the ball can go there or not. But it's just been one of those things that the ones where Rome has been primary, he's been open quite a bit. And so, it's good to see that they do have that connection and that rapport. And, you know, I think he's got that with the rest of the guys as well. We just got to make sure that we're getting him in that primary spot enough.
That was Ben Johnson yesterday. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And that sounds like a quarterback who's keying it on read number one.
Which I
don't mind.
I don't hate if these were more experienced players and more proven players. I mean, I get he's trying to get by. They're down. They're trying to come back because they couldn't score touchdowns in the first two drives. And I just need to see the growth in that. You learn from trying to do too much, putting a little too much of that proverbial dip on your chip. And you're in a position where Rome isn't the only guy who's good on this team. I keep hearing about all these mouths that have to be fed. DJ Moore exists. Colston Loveland exists. Well, Luther Burden III has existed. He's not currently existing on the football field. He's in concussion protocol.
Yeah, that stinks.
But there are other options. So I just want to make sure that keying in, locking in on a guy isn't causing trouble because defenses now know exactly what you're doing and they're scheming to take it away from you.
Well, and again, respect your opponent. Understand that the secondary on the other side, even when they might not be the NFL's best, they're still gonna read stuff. Precisely.
Like, how much credit are you giving the Bengals defense? Like, if things don't go right for Caleb this week.
I mean, it's how much credit did I give the Cowboys defense? None. I said they let Russell Wilson throw 450 yards in the week previous. Well, here we go. Look at what happened with Justin Fields and the Jets in that 39-38 win. Fields did not throw for 244 yards though, but the Jets ran for 254. I mean, Fields threw for 244. It wasn't 450. Jets ran for 254. So you should be able to run the ball similarly to what you did against the Saints.
And I know a lot of people are going to talk about, well, the Ravens' defense wasn't good. Yeah, but the Ravens were better than what was being led on. They had some injuries. And the other thing
it's a mix.
They were coming out of the bye. So they had a chance to regroup and get themselves together. And they were desperate. Because they were a one-win team.
Well, yes, they were. They treated that, and you heard a little bit about this, that the Ravens are saying every single game is lose and you're out. That's how they are facing it. I still think if they lost a game, they're probably going to have the same urgency. I don't think they're going to treat the rest of the season if they lose another one in between now and the end of the year like they're out of the playoffs. But there is that kind of mentality. I do, however, though, I did think that because of that defense that had shown you how bad it could be, that the Bears should have been able to do more in the beginning of the game.
Absolutely. The scripted stuff has worked so well for Ben Johnson since he's taken over this team. And it's interesting to see how other teams are kind of in that bend, don't break. That you got to break them.
Well, and it works against a Bears offense that is struggling to score in the red zone.
Struggle doesn't even begin to describe what's going on with that red zone offense right now. They are dead on arrival.
What about struggle bus?
The struggle bus is broken down on the side of the highway. AAA ain't coming.
What happens if you don't have a struggle bus? What's the next option?
You're on foot.
Struggle walk?
They're barefoot.
Dear God.
What about the Venga bus?
That's different.
Would the Venga bus have the same effect on the Bears that it had on the Cubs?
I hope so.
And the Venga bus nursed Kyle Tucker back to health.
That's what the bus does. I love Six Flags.
Can it nurse Tyrique Stevenson back to health?
I think Tyrique Stevenson would be receptive to the Venga bus.
Listen, whatever we got to do.
Knowing his personality.
We might get a CD Gardner Johnson remix off of this situation.
Low-key, why has not anybody major done a remix to Venga bus?
Could be us.
It's out there for them or for us.
If only I had producing skills, like music producing skills. They might be worse than my I got to be honest. When it came to the 19th and lower third stat, I was being dramatic.
You weren't being dramatic.
I was being a little dramatic.
I don't think you're being dramatic.
I'm like, you're near the lower third. It's like I did some upper quartile of upper quartile Jim Irsaying is what I did.
Yeah, I just thought if you break it down to halves and you break it down to thirds.
But actual math? Point being, somebody needs to remix the Venga bus. Get on that. Local DJ, Illa, I'm looking to you. Additionally, before Chicago takes on Cincinnati, tune in Sunday from 9 a.m. to noon for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score. Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully will be live at Revolution Brewing. That ought to be a fun show. 3340 North Kedzie Avenue. As they get you set for the game, then immediately following the game, they will have instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and a Turo Tire. All of it can be heard right here on The Score and the Odyssey app, and also YouTube, by the way. Shout out to our YouTube stream. I don't give them enough credit these days. So, additionally, you know who I may have not given enough credit to? The Bulls!
I've given the Bulls all the credit.
I thought that they would lose a game in this stretch. They're 4-0.
I think I said 5 straight to start the season, so...
Like your chances now.
Yes.
Let's talk about the Bulls win over the Kings and the return of Zach LaVine next.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Topside Giddy, Baker go! Are you flat out kidding me? Josh Giddy with the kiss off the window from 30 feet.
Left corner Herter, 4-3.
Bam! Kevin Herter, the red velvet is red hot.
And this ball game is over.
Bulls win! Bulls win! Bulls win! 126 to 113. We're 4-0. You gotta love it.
Chuck Swirsky loves it, and why not? He's loving it. The snack wrap is back. We're loving that. We're loving the Bulls. 126 to 113 win over the Sacramento Kings. We talked a lot about this game going into last night because it was the return of not just DeMar DeRozan, nicely done, Robbie Triano, but Zach LaVine as well. And this was the first time that Zach LaVine had gotten back to the United Center since he was traded to those Kings. And there were a lot of warm moments that happened between Zach and the players, you could tell, especially right after the game, before the interview with Modest on CHSN last night. But I think once the game started, again, similar to what we've seen, you could see the changing of the guard and how the different styles of play are resulting in a different Bulls team. There was a contrast when you saw the Kings on the floor versus the Bulls in their offensive sets and what they were doing.
The Kings were up by 12 points in this game, but at no point did I feel like the Bulls were going to lose this game.
Because they run.
And they just keep running. And it's not just that they run. It's like, okay, next up, two or three more guys come in and continue to run.
And how appropriate is it that Zach LaVine continues his high point total? Like, he had 30 points in this game. He led all scorers ultimately. We thought there was a chance that it might be Malik Monk. You made a good argument, Marshall. Well,
then they just took him off the floor.
Malik ended up with 15.
On 7 of 10 shooting. Like, they just took him off the floor.
Also, that's what we call efficiency. 7 of 10 is impressive.
He was a plus 17 in the game. No one else was a plus, beyond a plus 8 for the Kings.
But there's one truth you know of, and that is when Zach LaVine's on the floor, there's a good chance that happens. It's a good example, I think, of how we saw, like, the changing of the guard, for example. You knew what a Kings team with DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine was going to do. You had a pretty good idea once Russell Westbrook was added into that mix. Respect to DeMontis Sabonis and Dennis Schroeder, but we're still trying to figure out what this Bulls team is going to look like because they're healthy now. And Modest Bouzelis ends up with 27 points. We saw him have 5 rebounds to go with 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block. That's an excellent line.
Did his line please you? Did his performance please you?
What?
All right, let me give it.
Is it bad that we've gotten to the point where we can mock the drop so well?
No, but listen. 4-0, and they've got these 4 wins, right? Vooch, Giddy, Dosunmu, and now Bouzelis. They've had 4 different leading scorers in each of these games. That's the thing. If you're scouting for the Bulls, you can't just zero in on a guy and say, stop that guy. It's not going to work. Even if you say, okay, we think that Josh Giddy is the head of the snake. Is he, though? Because last time I checked, Trey Jones was out here getting all the work done.
Well, we're still trying to figure out what Trey Jones is fully realized on this team. You know, he was injured last year. That's kind of where I allude to when it comes to mentioning players. Like, he's one of those people where he's going to be a key difference maker. And he had 11 last night, although that's not really what you're looking for him to do necessarily. 5 assists, 2 steals. Bulls with active hands. And that's something that you can do against a team that doesn't run as much as you.
Trey Jones leads the league in steals at 3 per game. And they turn the ball over at still too high of a rate, But what I've learned in watching this team is they're going to be a problem for pretty much any team that decide to add a big player from last year or try to change things up, because they are consistent. They know their roles. There's no feeling out process with this Bulls team right now. They have picked up where they left off regular season, not playing.
regular season.
Yes, not the play-in. We're going to don't bring up the play-in.
We're not there yet, but we are still trying to figure out who these Bulls are. I think we can even still say after DeMar and Zach have left. Well, Billy Donovan, who is a man who will answer any question well, answered that one as well.
When they leave, there's just kind of a new starting over point, so to speak, you know, and I think for Io and for Kobe and for Patrick, you know, Modest is down his second year. There's guys that have been here that it's like, okay, we've got to carry the torch now. And we're not the kind of team that's just going to be able to rely on a player to close games out for us. We're going to have to do it together. And I think that they understand that, you know, that it's about what kind of team are we going to become. And I think that they know, and I think Io's driven this. I think Kobe's driven this. I think the guys are driven this. It's like, we got to be a really, really connected group. You know, we got to be really tied together. We got to know each other. We got to spend time with each other. We got to invest in each other, because we're going to need each other out there, you know. And sometimes with, you know, like, listen, there was plenty of times when I watched over on that sideline, you know, DeMar's got the ball and he's making something happen and he's making a game-winning shot, or Zach's doing the same thing. And, you know, now you're in a situation where, okay, something new's happening, and they're all having to rely upon each other. And I'm happy to hear them say what they said to you.
You're not supposed to win games when you give up 52.4% shooting from the field. But that's what the Bulls are doing, because they're shooting 53.8% from the field. And meanwhile, while Zach LaVine did have the 30 points on 12 of 19 shooting, that's very efficient. DeMar DeRozan did have 19 points on 5 of 10 shooting. You got to remember this. They only made 7 of 28 3-point shots, and Zach LaVine was only 2 for 8. Meanwhile, the Bulls, 14 of 32 as a team. That's 43.8% from beyond.
Well, and Bulls were able to, I think, carve up the paint pretty well, too. You know, that was part of it. You saw some Modest using his length there, and the Bulls end up with 70 points in the paint. You could see Modest go downhill pretty easily. You know, that's part of this that I feel like makes them better, too, is it can't just be Vooch in the paint. It's got to be other players. And when you're seeing Modest kind of realize that for himself, that use your height, use your length, that's something that is a tool for them to help with the scoring, help with the scoring profile. You're going to get different kinds of shots because of that. So the high percentage ones are very helpful. It was a very nice win for the Bulls for many reasons. And there was that emotional attachment. It wasn't as much about the reception for me. You knew there was going to be a video tribute to Zach LaVine. That's just what they do at the United Center, especially for him. But when it came to all the hugs on the court afterward, you could tell Zach was genuinely happy to be around them. And those were genuine moments we saw after the game.
It's interesting, because Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan brought a style of basketball that was synonymous with the Bulls for a period of time. And last night's box score perfectly illustrates how they've moved on from that, in that you just mentioned it. 70 points in the paint. They hit 14 threes. Mm-hmm. That's 42 points off of threes. You add up those numbers, you add up the 14 free throws. There is no mid-range. There is no get to my spot and take this shot. There's just cutting and passing and shooting going on with the Bulls. It's a more beautiful, seamless type of basketball than what we saw when guys are pounding the ball trying to do something. If Giddey's on the move, he's going straight to the rim.
It's also high percentage shots. Like, closest to the rim is high percentage, and then 3 is obviously your offensive efficiency, and if you're getting to the line, that rating goes up. Your offensive efficiency is key, again, in the regular season, in the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, that's not good. They all their points came from the paint, the 3, or the free throw line. There was nothing in the non-painted, non-3-point, not free throw line area.
And that's the modern path to success in the league offensively. That's it. I mean, if you want to see the shape of the game, I will say, if you love old school, you're mad at people hitting too many threes. Last year's playoffs was for you. I will reiterate that. Last year's playoffs was a more traditional type of basketball that I think was really antithetical to what we saw during the regular season. But the Bulls, 4-0 for the first time since 2021, and that was the last time that Bulls team was really successful with DeMar and Zach.
Had the best record in the Eastern Conference at a point.
That they did. Coming up next, More Bears talk. Mo Egger, the afternoon host at ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. A great football mind, a great sports mind, and he will give us the insight on what he thinks may happen with Joe Flacco in this game and what the latest is on the Bengals. So we'll do all of that next.
This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. We're live from Chicago, talking Chicago sports. Listen on your radio or through the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. We are 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hey, Score listeners, for all station contest rules, go to 670thescore.com/rules, and good luck.
Hi, it's Layla Rahimi for FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of 670 The Score. Every NFL Thursday is your chance to hit the jackpot on FanDuel. Yeah, I'm saying that loudly and pointedly for a reason. I want you to know. Because with FanDuel's Thursday touchdown jackpot, you can win a share of $2 million. In bonus bets each week. To get in on this Thursday's action, all you have to do is place an anytime touchdown score bet before the game kicks off. And if your player scores the first or the last touchdown of the game, you will win your bet plus a share of bonus bets. Just visit FanDuel.com/Layla to take a shot at the jackpot. That is FanDuel.com/Layla for your chance to win a share of $2 million in bonus bets. Play your game with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. 21 and up in present in Illinois. Opt in. Must apply profit boost token on select market. Prize pool to be split equally among all eligible participants who made the correct first or last touchdown pick. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 21 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.